The Lord be with you. Back when I was in college, I had an interesting experience because I didn't really get along with most people in the dorm where I lived my freshman year. But the very dorm next to mine had a group of friends who I thought were absolutely fabulous. They all did theater together, and half of them were actually theater majors, the other half were philosophy majors, but they still all did theater together, and I wanted more than anything to be a part of that dorm, to be a part of that group. And so, you know, I would audition for plays, but my main way to get in with that group was to date the girls who were a part of it. Yeah, basic solution. And I've got a picture of them here. That's sort of the group as a whole. That's a cast party. You can see me at the very back trying to stick my head up. I'm the hairy guy with the beard. Yeah, that's right. You can take the picture down. Anyway, after our sophomore year, the four core people of this friend group rented a four-bedroom house together. And the rent for this four-bedroom house was $1,200 a month. But they said to all the rest of us, you know, if you'd like to join us, you're welcome to stay over the summer and split the rent with us. And so the fact that I was dating one of the girls who was a part of this group, I said, hey, you know, can I be a part of this? And they said, sure. And it meant that I had to sleep in a hallway, but my rent was only $100 a month because they fit 12 of us in this four-bedroom apartment. And we had so much fun. You know, if you ever wanted to play a game, there was someone to play a game with. If you ever wanted to go on a walk, there was someone to go on a walk with. We would brush our teeth at the end of the day. There was only two bathrooms in this place. And so we'd just have massive teeth brushing parties where we all chat, hey, how are you? How about you? Yeah. There was just one problem with it, which was this was the first year in my entire life that I was going to spend my birthday with people who didn't know when my birthday was. My birthday is in the middle of July, and none of these people knew that. And as July rolled around, I started to get this sinking feeling in my stomach because I really wanted my friends to celebrate my birthday, but I also didn't have the confidence to tell them when my birthday was. And I think part of the reason was, you know, I've always felt kind of like I had snuck my way into this friend group, right? I hadn't been a part of their dorm. I wasn't a theater major. I was a classics major, which meant instead of putting on plays for my major, I studied ancient Greek. And that girl that I was dating that sort of got me in, one week after I had moved into this house, I broke up with her. And so there, part of me thought, you know what? I don't actually deserve to be a part of this friend group. And so the week before my birthday, I began to become more and more anxious and more withdrawn and more sad. Today, in John chapter 5, we hear Jesus say that the day is coming when he will call to the dead, to all the dead, and they will rise from their graves. And then he says, those who have done good will rise to a resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to a resurrection of condemnation. Now, as I mentioned, I was a classics major, which meant I spent all my time studying Greek. And in Greek, there's the word evil we have in that passage, right? Those who have done evil will rise to a resurrection of condemnation. And there's two words that are usually used to translate evil in Greek. The first is kakos. I've got it here, kakos. Right? It means bad, essentially. This one's really easy for me to remember because I grew up speaking Spanish, and in Spanish, caca, yeah, some of you know, right? It means poop. It's bad. Yeah, so very easy to remember that. The other word that you most frequently see translated as evil is poneros, and I have that up there. You know, it kind of means grievous or wicked. This one's also easy for me to remember because there's an English word that this one reminds me of that's also kind of associated with wickedness. I'll let you figure that out on your own. But to say neither of these words are the words that's translated evil in John chapter 5. The word that's translated as evil in John chapter 5 is phallos. Let's go to that one. Phallos, it literally means something that's cheap or easy, or slight, or paltry. paltry, that it's not substantial enough. And I will say this idea that in the life to come, there will be a judgment. And the judgment will be this weighing of your deeds. It's an old idea. Even in Jesus' day, it was an old idea. It went back to the ancient Egyptians who believed that when you die, there was a jackal-headed god named Anubis who would literally pull out a scale and put your heart on one side and a feather on the other. And I've got a picture of it here. And depending on the weight of your heart and the deeds you did in your life, you would either go on to eternal life or you would be fed to a monster. Right? Either a resurrection of life or a resurrection of condemnation. It's an idea that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense because that's how most of us live our life on this earth, right? We feel like if we do good things, we get rewards, and if we do bad things, well, maybe we don't deserve them. Or maybe not even just bad things, but if we do paltry things, insubstantial things, maybe we don't deserve that fullness of life and love, right? That's certainly what I felt when I was in college, that my deeds were too paltry to be a part of this friend group, that I didn't have the weight within this crew of folks to ask them to throw me a birthday party, that I didn't have the social currency to say, will you celebrate me? Because my deeds were too paltry. They were too phaudos. And indeed, right, if that's how we live in this life, why shouldn't it be that way in the next life? That our deeds are weighed, and if they're too paltry, condemnation. But there's a problem with this idea of the life that is to come. And the problem is this verse in the Bible that's pretty well known, John 3:16. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. Yeah? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him might not die, but have eternal life. You know, it really sounds like our salvation there isn't based on the deeds that we've done, but our faith in Jesus. And John 3:17 and 18 seems to double down on this, right? John 3:17 says, "For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." And John 3:18 says, "Those who believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already." And so what's going on here? It feels like maybe John is contradicting itself. Like John 3 is saying, you know what, our salvation is dependent entirely upon our belief, whereas John 5 is saying, you know what, if you do good deeds, good news. If you do bad deeds, condemnation. That really sounds like it's all about our works. So how in the world do these two things reconcile? Well, as I mentioned, I was a classics major, and I've got a sabbatical coming up. And part of my sabbatical is I will spend 2 weeks at a seminar translating ancient Greek. And I will tell you, I am terrified about this. I'm terrified about this because it's, you know, been 16 years since I was in college as a classics major, and I'm terrified that when I get to this seminar, everyone will be better at Greek than I am. I'm terrified that when I get there, my Greek skills will be too paltry. They will be phaudos, yes? And I won't deserve to be there. And so, for the past 2 months, my wife has complained because every night I bring my college Greek textbooks into bed with us, and I'm sitting there studying, trying to get as good as I can before I go. And all that to say, I spent a lot of time looking at John in the Greek this week. And what I noticed was, we have these words, judgment and condemnation. And it sounds like they're two separate words in our English translation. But in Greek, they're both the same word. And that word is krisis, or it's where we get our English word crisis. Yeah. And John 3:19 very helpfully tells us, what is this thesis? What is this judgment, this condemnation to which Jesus is referring? And can we pull up John 3:19 and 20? So Jesus says this, and this is the judgment, the thesis. Light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil, that word is phallos, right? All who do paltry things hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. Let me try to make that plain to you. The judgment, the condemnation, is that when light appears in our life, when we have the opportunity to be seen for who we are, we look at that light and say, you know what? I don't want them to see my deeds because I don't think my deeds were enough. I don't think my deeds were enough to deserve to be the center of attention. I don't think my deeds were enough to deserve people's celebration. I don't think my deeds were enough to be loved. And so I'm just going to go hide now. I'm just going to go be in the darkness by myself. That is the judgment. That is the condemnation of which Jesus speaks. And that word, krisis, it literally means separating, yeah, or distinguishing. And you can kind of see how you get to judgment or condemnation from that, right? To make a judgment is to say, well, this, not this. And you can see where our word crisis comes from, right? A crisis is a fork in the road, and you have to choose which way you're going to go. But literally, what Jesus says is, this condemnation that people experience because they don't believe, it is a condemnation of separation, of saying, no, I'm not going to be in the light. I'm not going to be where Jesus is, where I can be seen. I'm going to separate myself, and I'm going to hide. And that's what I did in college, because Jesus has said, right, those who do not believe are condemned already. They are separating already. And indeed, that's what I did. I said, my deeds are too phallos, too paltry. I don't deserve to be seen by my friends. I don't deserve to be celebrated by them. And so I'm going to separate myself and hide in the darkness. And Jesus says that's what's going to happen on the day of resurrection. Jesus will say, rise from the dead, and everyone will rise. And Jesus, who is the light of the world, will say, come to me. And some people will say, yes, Jesus, this is the best day of my life. I can't wait to be in your arms to celebrate with all my friends. And some people will say, ooh, you know, if I reflect on my life, I'm not sure I deserve to be in there. I'm not sure they're going to be excited to see me. I think maybe you all have a good time. I'm going to go over here where it's dark. I'm going to go over here where there's not life. I'm going to separate myself. And Jesus says those people will experience a resurrection of separation. And the difference between those people who run into the light with joy and those people who sneak away into the darkness with fear, the difference between those people is faith. And to understand why it is faith that is the difference between those two, I want to tell you what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. He says, yes, everything is for your sake. Which is to say, everything that Jesus has done, his life, his death, his resurrection, all of that is for you. To what end? Well, Paul says, so that grace, as it expands to more and more people, may result in thanksgiving and praise to God. Now, I want to give you an English definition for once, right? Grace, there's a great acronym you can think of in English for it. It goes like this. Grace is, and I have it up on a slide, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. I don't have it up on the slide? All right, sounds good. You can imagine it. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Which is to say, grace is the idea that if there is a cover charge to enter in the party that is the afterlife, Jesus has paid it. Grace is, if there is a balancing of the scales of justice that needs to be done for you, Jesus has balanced it. Grace is, if there is a deed that needs to be accomplished for you to deserve to be in God's light, well, Jesus is the one who has accomplished it for you. Faith is the difference between living in the light of eternal life and hiding in the darkness, that resurrection of separation. But it's not faith in a God. Lots of cultures have faiths in gods. It is not faith that after we die, we will be judged based on our actions, right? That's faith in the God of Anubis, the God of ancient Egypt. The Christian faith is the belief that Jesus has paid it all. That if there is something that needs to be done, Jesus has done it. The Christian faith is the faith that says, I don't know if my actions are good enough, but I know that Jesus' actions are, and it's his judgment that matters. That is the Christian faith. And Jesus says, when you believe that, you will have life in the resurrection to come, but you also have life now. And I found that to be true so many years ago in college, because I will tell you what, the day before my birthday, the guy who was probably the center of that friend group, he noticed I was looking really sad. And he said to me, Ben, what's going on? Why are you so sad? And I didn't want to like have to come out and admit that I was too embarrassed to tell anyone it was my birthday. And he said, no, like, I love you, Ben. Tell me, what's happening? And I said, well, tomorrow's my birthday. I wish you told me. We have to celebrate. And so that night we came up with a plan, and he went and told everyone else in our house. And the next morning, all 12 residents of that house went out with me for a hike in a nearby park. And then that afternoon we took the bus across town and we went to a theater festival that was completely free. And after the theater festival, there was a reception for the theater festival with food and drink, all provided without cost. It was honestly one of the best days of my life. And every single thing we did that day didn't cost me a dime. Didn't cost any of us a dime. Now, I want to be clear. Someone had to pay for it, right? You have a park, taxpayers pay for it. There was the theater festival. Generous patrons of the art paid for that theater festival, including the food that we enjoyed afterwards. But for us, it was free. My friends, that is grace. Riches at someone else's expense. But I would not have experienced that grace had I not had the trust in my friends to say, hey, this is who I am. Tomorrow is my birthday. I'd really like to celebrate it with you. Friends, that is faith. And it is faith that allows us to experience the incredible grace that God has given us. Now, faith, it's the name of this congregation. It is the purpose of every single thing we do to help people trust that God's grace is for them in Jesus Christ. It is the point of my sermons. It is the point of us sharing communion. It is the point of us spraying water over you each Sunday. And for the past 2.5 years, one of the most effective ways that Faith Lutheran has shared God's grace with people has been through the ministry of our director of family life, Danny Vogel. Because here's the thing. Danny has this incredible gift to make even the most paltry activity seem precious. She says, okay, we're going to have the young adults watch the Kentucky Derby. Well, we're going to get pool noodles and decorate them as hobby horses and have races. We got a picture here. Yeah? She'll say, okay, we're going to have VBS. We're just going to get streamers, and we're going to have a competition to see who can rap each other the best. Yeah? She says, okay, we're going to go to a corn maze, but we're not just going to wander around the corn maze. We're going to have a costume competition and see how elaborate our costumes can be as we run through the corn maze. And after every single one of these events, she says, well, there should be a prize. And how do you know it's a precious prize? Because we've decided it's precious. It's going to be a blue jacket that I found at a thrift store. Danny knows that what makes something magical is the love that it is received by, right? Which is why when children bring drawings to their parents don't say, oh, you know what? I've seen artists who can do way better. No! They say, what a beautiful work of art. Let me put it up on the fridge. It's because what makes that art beautiful is the parents' love for it. Today, I wear this stole. Right, I have very beautiful chasubles made out of fine satin, gold, embroidered. Today I wear this one because Danny encouraged our kids at VBS to make this stole for me to wear. And friends, this stole is not paltry. It is not phallos. It is precious because it is made with love and it is received with love. May we continue to teach our children that faith. May we continue to share with Butte County that faith. May we continue to believe for ourselves that faith. So that when Jesus' voice calls us to rise from the grave and we see that light and all the people we have ever loved gathered there, we don't think for a moment, oh, my deeds maybe aren't enough. May we think to ourselves, Jesus has said that what I have done has been done in God's love, and He alone gets to decide. So let us run forward and celebrate the best day of our lives. Amen.